跟你荷包费。Were made strong. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Which has dawned, and the new grass and the blossoming flowers and the songs of birds, we are still reminded that Jesus lives. We pray that as we come this morning into the homes where thousands of people are worshiping with us, we may be conscious of the presence of him who came back from the tomb and lives today in the hearts and lives of millions of people. May there be hundreds today who will answer aright the question, what shall I do with Jesus? When this hour shall have ended, may they be ready to accept him and to follow him. We dedicate ourselves and this program to the interests of thy kingdom, that men and women may know that to know thee is life eternal. Bless us, therefore, as we attempt to worship and serve thee through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Will you not receive this period of devotion as a reminder of the blessing that awaits you today in God's house? Here's a radiogram from the Radio Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention to you. It reads, calling all Sunday school leaders and workers to hold 10,000 radio breakfast for junior Sunday school classes and departments on Sunday morning, April 22nd, from 7:30 to 8:30 o'clock to hear and discuss the Baptist Hour. Dr. W.H. Knight will make the talk that morning. The music will be by the Baptist Hour Choir. The juniors will sing too as the Baptist Hour Choir leads. Think of it, 10,000 groups of junior boys and girls singing the same song of worship at the same time all over the Southland. This will be wonderfully thrilling. Remember, this date is just 2 weeks from this morning, so be sure to ask the superintendent and teachers of juniors in your Sunday school to make plans today for this radio breakfast. Arrange to have all the juniors meet in one place. If this cannot be done, then arrange for each class to meet in a home. Be on time at 7:25, get the radio tuned in, and then spend 1 minute in silent prayer just before the broadcast begins. Spend a few minutes after the breakfast discussing the talk, and close the period with a brief prayer of consecration. We'll have a big surprise for every junior in that broadcast. We can't tell you, but it is a big surprise. These are war times. Food is scarce, points are high. So let every junior bring 2 eggs if you have them, bring 2 strips of bacon that morning. Following the broadcast, let a committee of juniors help fix the breakfast. Be sure to finish breakfast in time to be in Sunday school on time. The subject is, What Shall I Do with Jesus? The second talk in the new Baptist Hour series. The speaker is pastor of the Third Baptist Church of St. Louis, Missouri, past president of the Northern Baptist Convention, and a widely known speaker throughout the nation. We now hear Dr. C. Oscar Johnson. Dr. Johnson.
Today we are 1 week past Easter. Last Sunday, the hallelujahs rang around the world, Christ is risen. It was only a little more than a week ago that we reenacted in our thought and memory, through sermon and song, the dirges of a funeral. We went through the experiences of that last Thursday when Jesus, after having gone through the embarrassments of the week, when the ridicule and mockery of the people he came to save had been heaped upon him. It was in an upper room where, having observed the simple Passover feast, he then instituted the Lord's Supper, a memorial of his broken body and his shed blood, typical of what he was to be within a few hours. When this supper had been instituted, and the little song had been sung, out into a garden they went, where Jesus fell upon the ground and prayed. Once, twice, thrice. Each time he returned to the disciples to find them asleep. At the end of that prayer, a great victory had been won, and he said, "If it be thy will, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done." The arrest, the mock trial, the passing of the hours of the night, the denial of Peter, the shuffling from court to court, Jesus finally stood before Pilate. Pilate, seeking to evade the responsibility of sentencing a man whom he believed and even said he thought was innocent, washed his hands before the public, and then having brought before them Jesus and Barabbas, with the pretended hope, at least, that they might be satisfied to take Barabbas for crucifixion, but release Jesus. When they cried for the crucifixion of Christ and the release of Barabbas, then Pilate uttered the words of this text this morning. What then shall I do with Jesus? As I ask the question of you who are listening this morning, we are 2,000 years past that event, and yet the question presses for answer just as definitely and positively as it did when Pilate first asked it of that crowd. The question is not to be asked of a crowd, because in the very center of the question stands the personal pronoun, I. And it is here and there that the answer is to be made. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Many approaches have been made to the answer of this question. Perhaps the most popular today is to postpone the examination, to put off the quiz, to ask for more time, saying, ultimately, I will give you a final answer, but not today. This will never be satisfactory, either to the person making it or to him who asks, the question being, what will you do? What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? There is nothing before us just now of greater importance than the right answer to this question. There were people who made the wrong answer long ago. One of them was Pilate, and the other was the answer given to the crowd when they said, "Crucify him, but release Barabbas." That wrong answer is being made today. People are still saying, they will have nothing to do with him. They are saying with positiveness, he has no place in their lives. That number, however, who are as outspoken as that, is not very large. Most of the people who know anything about him at all give him some place, some room. They have a sort of respect, if not reverence, for him. But as to answering the question with any sort of personal surrender, they have not come to that position. These attitudes have been characteristic of all the years since he was here when he went back to the Father. Just following another Easter, when throngs filled the churches, many of the great amphitheaters, the parks, on the battleships, in the battle zone, out yonder in little chapels in the Navy, the Army, the Air Corps, all of these places around this world, large groups and small groups, have answered again in their own hearts the great hunger of the knowledge of a risen Christ. We come for a personal answer this morning, and we want to consider it, first of all, in the light of what has come to many of us. I'm talking to some thousands of people who, if asked the question, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" would be eager to say, "Let me answer." And the answer would be, "I have accepted him as my risen Lord, my crucified Savior, my King, my Redeemer, and I purpose to follow him and obey him as my Master." This indeed is the right answer, and many years ago, your speaker this morning answered that question. When given the opportunity to say what he would do with Jesus, humbly as he knew how, he fell at his feet and received him into his heart and life. As I speak to you this morning, my heart warms in the knowledge of the fact that I have so accepted him. I am grieved, however, to know and remember that many of my boyhood friends have not even to this day so acknowledged him. They have been in the crowd that cried for his crucifixion, and though I believe their voices have not been heard, they have not disassociated themselves with those who thus decided the fate of Christ. Jesus will not force himself into the life of any man, but as someone has said, he has the toe of his boot in the crack of the door to every man's life. I would like this morning, if I could, to tell you that the right answer to this question is more important even than what will happen at San Francisco. It is more important even than the date of the end of the war. It is more important than the winning of the victory over our enemies. The answer to this question is of eternal value. The others are temporary. There are some things that will come to us in the right answer to this question. May I press them home to your heart this morning. The very first thing that will come to us is the forgiveness of sin. What a glorious human race. Sin has been the source of our grief, our sorrow, our suffering, the war, death, disease. Everything in this world has been wrought upon us by sin. It is the great enemy of the human soul, the human race. Then the acceptance of Jesus Christ, who has paid the price of our sin in his own body upon a tree, brings forgiveness of our sins. Why will men and women delay in the right answer to a question which can bring such a blessing as that? Then, let me say to you, there are those who certainly intend always to rightly answer the question in order that sin may be forgiven, but up to now, they have postponed the answer. To be forgiven, to be free, that is the greatest and most wonderful experience through which we may pass. It is all possible in the right answer of this question this morning. There is another thing that will come in the right answer to this question. That is peace. Peace. That word we speak so much now. That word we put in our prayers. That word that is upon the lips of millions of people. That word that mothers long to hear and to know as a reality. Peace. That word that children hope for and pray for, that daddies may come home. Peace. That word that the peoples of the world are so hungry to know. Peace. Peace that can only come to the right answer to this question. Peace of soul and mind, individually. That is what we need. If we have peace that passeth understanding, which comes to us in the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master, then it matters little what men shall do to us, because we still have peace. Men long for peace. They pray for peace. They work for peace. And yet, it never can come to us individually or as a nation until we have answered the question, what shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do as an individual? What shall my nation do? What will my family do? What will my community do with Jesus? This is the question that must be answered. The answer to this question brings us something else, which last Sunday was a part of every sermon preached around the world, namely, eternal life. We cannot know it apart from the right answer of this question. Jesus is the life, the way, the truth. There is no eternal life apart from him. To be linked up with him is not to be tied up with death, but with life. He lives. When Jesus came out of the tomb, he was victor over death, hell, and the grave, thus giving assurance to those of us who in these days are trembling when we receive telegrams. Many of them begin, "We regret to inform you." Those telegrams strike a pang to the hearts of us all, and even though it comes to a neighbor, our hearts are in silence in their sorrow. Eternal life, life that is free from the pangs of death, life that has been set free through him, who once for all bore upon his own body, upon a cross,
the sins, and the death of all mankind. To receive Jesus is to receive life eternal. To fail to answer this question is to miss the whole examination, and to fail utterly when we stand up for the testing. What shall I do with Jesus? I will accept him and thus receive eternal life. And in connection therewith, those who receive eternal life become heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And all that belongs to God and that belongs to Jesus belongs to those who answer this question rightly. Men and women standing so close to such riches should not for one moment, it seems to me, put off the answering of that question. Throughout the length and breadth of this great convention territory, and in the areas north, south, east, and west, and around the world, chaplains and Christian leaders are asking this question: what will you do with Jesus? We are pressing it home to the hearts of people in this nation and in the nations of the earth. Through the missionaries, we are carrying on a great evangelistic program. Evangelism is merely pressing for an answer to the question which I have brought you this morning out of the scriptures. That question asked by Pilate so long ago. The question he himself evaded and thus has passed out of the mind and heart and memory of us all. His own name having borne the stigma of one who in a critical moment failed, and having failed, has passed into oblivion of the past. This question is being asked today, I trust in the countryside, yonder where you are in the big city, in the mountains, the valleys, the plains, across the rivers, and on the desert. Men and women everywhere will hear this question once again, and will in true fashion, and in obedience to the best that there is in them, without a moment's hesitation, accept him and crown him Lord of our lives. This great campaign, which is now underway in an effort to win a million people to Christ, ought not to be difficult. And if those listening in now, having accepted Jesus, will press the question for answer upon their neighbors and friends, and guide them in the right direction, offering suggestions and aid until they too say, I with you will accept him as my Lord. With your help, not only a million, but a million and a half, 2 million, could be won during these months ahead. May I lay it upon your heart in prayer this morning, that there is no more important question confronting the people of this nation and of this world than the one which is our thought for this hour. May God guide us as we attempt in the light of all that has been and all that is and all that shall be to answer the question which comes for a personal consideration upon the part of every one of us today. And so, may God bless you in this effort and crown your efforts with success in his spirit and in his name.
Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus?
What will you do with Jesus? You try to call on me.
The music was by the Baptist Hour Choir under the direction of John D. Hoffman, with George L. Hamrick at the organ. The speaker for today was Dr. C. Oscar Johnson on the subject, What Shall I Do with Jesus? A printed copy of the message by Dr. Johnson will be sent you free if you make your request this week. A postal card will do. Only one address can be sent in response to each listener request. If you desire a copy of the message to be sent to a member of your family in the armed services, make your request on card, and we will mail it directly to you. Address your postal card request to the Baptist Hour in care of the station to which you are listening. In his recent Baptist Hour address, Senator Walter F. George suggested the effectiveness of Baptists circulating petitions urging that religious liberty be written into post-war international agreements. May we suggest that you forward us such petition early this week with just as many signatures as you can secure. We will forward it with others at the end of the week. Next week and over this same station, you can hear another in the series, Looking Unto Jesus. The speaker then will be Reverend Garland A. Hendricks of Apex, North Carolina. The subject, Christ is Able. The Baptist Hour is presented by the Radio Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention as a contribution to the religious life of America and is carried as a public service feature by cooperating stations on a network extending to the states of the far Southwest. The Baptist Hour comes to you from the studios of WSB, Atlanta, Georgia, with today's address originating through the facilities of KSD of St. Louis, Missouri. Roy McMillan speaking. Southern Network.